You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
With everything you have on your plate, earning your degree online seems impossible. But at Grand Canyon University, we specialize in helping you fit a master's degree in business into your busy day. Your graduation team, led by your own GCU counselor, provides you with the personal support you need to succeed. Achieve your goals with a plan and team behind you. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Visit gcu.edu.
This is the season finale. Did you know that? Did I tell you
that? This is the end! Okay.
This podcast has hosted some of the most sought-after guests, from Broadway icons, TV and film legends, and stars of the music industry. But today, for our season one finale, we have a guest that I personally think tops them all.
Lean in. I think we got to be like, kind of like this.
I just don't want to be sharing my breath with you.
I don't want to share your breath either.
We've had a lot of fun this season, but this season one finale is probably the most unhinged episode we've had.
We're going right into bathroom stories.
Today's guest is not in show business. However, he is an award-winning teacher and the founder of a ceramics company, Dirt Clay SF.
It was like a phantom. It was like a phantom bathroom movement.
So you did go poo and then it wasn't there?
It might be a choice that I regret later, but I'm actually thrilled that I asked him to be the guest of our season one finale.
You would rather risk shitting in your pants in Times Square than finishing a Sondheim musical.
I go way back with today's guest. In fact, he's known me my entire life, and I've known him for most of his.
It's Broadway's Danny Gasparini!
If we can even get this episode started, this is Broadway's
So buckle up for the insanity, because today's guest is someone so near and dear to my heart, my big brother. Ladies and gentlemen, now we're talking with Danny Gasparini.
Okay, that's a nightmare. You and I have actually gotten in big fights about Sondheim. Like I've actually gotten, like, actually upset with you.
You've made my wife cry.
Is it? Did I?
We were at Bar American.
I made her cry?
Well, I was digging my heels in. But you made a good point, and it took me years and years to recognize this, but... like, I was like, yeah, Sondheim sucks.
We're like, 6 minutes in. You made my wife cry. It's like such a good story. All right, wait, keep going.
But no, like yeah, like, is Sondheim, do I, if I were traveling to New York to see a Broadway show, would I be like, oh, Sweeney Todd, sign me up.
Right.
So, or even better, Company, perfect. Let's go sit and watch Bobby Baby for like an hour and a half, and let's call that a good experience. But I think that, and this was the point that you made that it took me years to recognize, is that you can have an opinion, but you can also have an uninformed opinion.
And that's my, right.
I have an uninformed opinion, because quite honestly, you see a Sondheim show, and it's, you're right, the music's catchy.
Well, you know, since that argument, where apparently we haven't gotten to how I made your wife cry, but.
Well, you yelled at her that – you yelled at me and she felt – I think she felt bad for me.
Oh, because I yelled at you?
Yeah, you were yelling – I think you made her feel embarrassed.
I think this was about 10 years ago.
I
was like –
you were making a scene again.
Okay, relax. But I was very like, how can you shit on Sondheim? He like restructured the identity of musical theater. How, you know what I mean? It's like shitting on Picasso in his realm.
Yeah,
you know,
but Picasso's probably a fucking dick too.
Well, here's
– I don't know Sondheim.
Fucking dick.
I don't,
it's so respected.
You have to edit that. You have to beat that out.
I am absolutely not editing
no,
that.
You have
the
to
blasphemous
beat that out.
Remark out of Danny Gasparini's mouth.
Keep it.
The Broadway community will hate you forever.
City on fire!
Do a song.
Hang on. I have to think about this. What's the one where it's like... what's the...
Do an impression of a song.
No. What's the... what's the one with the hair? She's... it's like...
The hair?
Oh. Brown little pretty girls, little girls, Batman, listen to them sing.
It's not about hair. She's just combing her hair.
That's the one she's combing
Green
her hair.
Green Finch and Little Bird.
Green Finch and little bird, blackbird, listen to you sing.
That's it.
That's the one.
That's actually it. In a drunken state, I've seen you ad-lib. This is piss.
Smells like piss.
Smells like piss.
Must be piss. Signor Pirelli's miracle elixir. Have a little sip, sir. You'll see right in your hair. Your hair will grow so thick, sir. It'll be so quick, sir. Yes, you're right. Try a bottle of it, my friend.
Not one of these lyrics is correct. I have an amazing story to tell. Okay, I think you were there for it. We went to the Hyatt in San Francisco. You already know what this is. I had to take
this is bar none the best bathroom seat.
No, I have another one that is just very recently that kind of blows this one out of the water too. But
you tell one, I tell one, you tell one.
Okay, great. Bathroom story exchange with Danny and Andrew. Here we go. So this was many years ago. We went to stay at a Hyatt in San Francisco, and as we're checking in, I mean, I'm a teenager at this point, like a late teen, but I felt like I was like tugging on dad's sleeve, like, you got to hurry this up. I don't have long. We got to check into the room. Get the room. So we get a key to a room, and dad walks me up to the room, and I go right to the bathroom. And everybody else is like getting their luggage together or whatever in the lobby. Just dad and I split off to go to the room.
I think you have to set the scene to like, it is a packed lobby. It's like
tons
of
people. The
weekend before
yes.
Christmas,
yes,
and like everyone is there.
There's a very crowded hotel situation.
Union Square, San Francisco,
yes.
Just so jammed.
And so I go and I close the door to the bathroom in this hotel room, and then dad says, "All right, I'm gonna go check on, I guess, everybody else," and he kind of leaves me in the room.
No, I think you're missing.
What am I saying wrong here?
You're in the bathroom. And they call the room.
Oh yes, that's exactly what it is. That's exactly what it is. I'm in the bathroom sitting down waiting for my business to get started. The room gets a phone call. The hotel room gets a phone call from the lobby to tell my dad, we made a mistake. Somebody has already checked into that room.
Yes, exactly.
And dad leaves me.
He's knocking on the door. He's going, Drew, you got to hurry up.
He goes, okay, you hurry up and come back down to the lobby. Yeah. I was like, you got it, chief. So I'm trying to back out my business. I'm trying to do it. There's a little bit of stage fright happening. It's not working
but
itself out.
The fact
out.
That your father left you
he abandoned,
in the room.
He abandoned me.
You're on your own.
Then I hear the door open again. And I think it's dad coming back, and it's an older couple who's been living in that room. But it's not like, that's the greatest part of the story. It's not like, oh, whoops, we just checked somebody else into that room. They're on their way up. It's like somebody's been in that room for like a day or two, a couple days.
Oh my God.
And they came in while I'm in the bathroom, and I just sat there silently and hoped that they didn't come in the bathroom.
How did you leave? What happened?
They left. They just came in and dropped something off and then left
the
room.
Oh my God, you're lucky.
I'm very, very lucky. Oof. Now, this is another thing. Oh, wait, but now it's your turn to give me an exchange. So, anyway, the moral of the story
is
my father doesn't care about how scared I was. Well, he left me in a stranger's room in San Francisco, and I was locked in their bathroom hoping no one would notice. And then the couple came in, and that was incredibly embarrassing for me. Anyway, what's your story, Danny?
I feel like could you imagine being that older couple? Maybe they were totally aware. That's what I would have done. I would have been like, holy God, there's somebody in the bathroom. We're in San Francisco. This is like, it could be a maniac in the bathroom.
You know what my go-to is? Whenever I'm like, I hear someone come in the room, but I'm in the bathroom, I try my best to make them know I'm there.
How often? In the bathroom, public bathroom stall?
Like a public bathroom stall. Like if the door is closed and they think that they're by themselves, I'm like,
oh.
You know what I mean?
So mine is that we went to the Omni Hotel, and there's a steakhouse at the bottom, also in San Francisco, also with our dad of all characters. And Drew and I are having a lunch. We met him out for lunch during his business day.
Yeah.
And the thing about that steakhouse is that they had these little tiny candies, like these little sour ball candies, just sitting in like a jar.
I know what
and
this is now.
my fat ass was like, oh yeah, candies. So I filled my pocket, like the pocket of my shirt.
Your shirt pocket.
So I'm like, oh, perfect, candies. I'm going to get some of these candies, going to go to the bathroom. It's going to be great.
Wait, that thread of thought is so great. I'm going to get some of these candies, fill my shirt pocket with candies. It's going to go to the bathroom. I'm going to be great.
I'm sitting down, and you can see there's like a conglomerate of people in the stalls. And it's like, if you were to look underneath the stalls, it's like loafers, Cole Haans, my crappy Converse that have holes in them. Mm-hmm. Another pair of really expensive shoes. Mm-hmm. Clearly, it's like the martini lunch of time of the day.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm wrapping
business
up,
lunch.
And this might be revealing too much, but in my cleanup, I'm leaning forward, and as I lean forward, like 20 round candies that were in my pocket come cascading out onto the bathroom floor and spill out like little marbles. All over, just and they make that like sound of like plastic on tile, clickety clack, and click, click, click.
Just what you described, marbles on tile. I mean, like,
and they spill out and they roll everywhere, and that's the end of my story. But I felt like that was kind of embarrassing.
I wanted to be very crystal clear that so far we have literally just shit on Sondheim and talked about poop stories, and we are partnered with the Broadway Podcast Network. That's
we'd like to apologize.
We'd like to apologize to the Broadway Podcast Network. My last little bathroom story is I had to pee again in the car. It's like, I'm trapped. I don't know what to do. And it becomes
Were you in California?
I was in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. We're on our way to the airport. And I told you about this, right? It was mom and dad were in the front seat. Chloe and I are in the bucket seats in the car behind them.
Wait, we have to for your audience to know, when Drew loses his mind, he loses his fucking mind. He's like,
this is so unfair.
He's like,
this is so unfair.
He's like, maniac. He's like Mr. Toad seeing a motor car for the first time, upset.
Yeah, no.
You gotta pull over right now. It's like so
from
heightened.
Zero to 60
it's
very,
so
very
heightened.
Fast in a matter of milliseconds.
So imagine that, like a Tasmanian devil in the back.
Well,
backseat.
I think I'm keeping my cool, and I think I got my shit on check, and then all of a sudden I'm not.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, how long is this fucking red light? We gotta pull over. I don't know what I'm gonna do. They're like, well, there's a gas station two blocks up. I see it. I'm like, I can't even wait for that. I leapt over Chloe, who is in the bucket seat next to me, our sister Chloe, and I jump out of the car at a stoplight, and I run into the woods. I mean, like, it was
Well, it's like a berm. So you have to run, like in San Francisco on this particular street.
19th.
There's 19th Street. There's the road, and then there's like a berm. There's like a little grassy knoll
that I ran up to, and then there's a series of trees. But what I didn't know that when I got up there is there's a small tent city of homeless people, and I couldn't help it, and we're like looking at each other, and I'm like, sup guys, and I pee, and then the light turns green, and I don't know where mom and dad went. They drove off, and I had to run down and find them somewhere up a few blocks.
Oh my god!
Anyway, these bathroom stories are great. I want to make it clear that in anticipation to recording of recording an episode with you, one of the things I have written down.
What is this? Let me see.
I'll show you in a second. Okay. One of the things I have written down. You and I discussed this on the phone. We're like, what could we talk about if we were going to do a podcast? And one of the bullet points is.
No, we can't talk about this.
No, I just want you to... Back in the day, you and I, kind of against our wishes, or we didn't really have much say in the matter, I feel like, in my memory, we were sent to a summer sleepaway camp, not really understanding that it was a full-on Christian camp.
Oh, yes.
And it was called Frontier Ranch, which, by the way, sounds the least amount like a Christian-affiliated camp
at all.
Well,
and that, to me, it's because it wasn't. It wasn't a Christian camp until the nighttime.
Yeah.
It makes it sound very
sketchy.
But I think, like, that's the thing is, like, It was all fun and games and all these really, really cool things. Archery and, like,
slip and slides and ropes courses
and
zip lines.
Yeah, remember that thing they had? It was, like, here we're going to put, it was like they tried to do the world record for the largest banana split.
Yeah.
And they took these gutters and they lined the gutters with plastic bags and they just loaded it up with like that weird ice cream that comes in the really, really big tub with the ramp.
Yeah. You know, absolutely. Yeah. Yes.
And they just loaded that up. But they like, you know, for them to, for that staff to scoop out ice cream for what, maybe 400 kids.
Yeah.
Ice cream was sitting out there for hours.
I'm getting physically sick thinking about this.
It like flies. Like, but we all ate it because we were idiots. We were just like dumb kids like, oh, sugar, blah, blah, blah.
Man, it was so, it was such a good way to get people to listen to Bible stories, honestly, because you have so much fun during the day with all these insane, like you could ride motorbikes and like, it was like insane the amount of activities
they
had.
But it was snuck. Like there were little tiny like sneaky ways that they would like just like embed the Jesus piece into it.
Yeah, it'd be like this. It'd be like, everybody come along and do the ropes course. Praise be to him.
Yeah.
And
under his eye. But I remember because I was like, and thank God mom and dad pushed us to do stuff that we're uncomfortable with, because I would have just, I would have grown up as like a 10, 13, 16 year old boy just playing in my room with like Ninja Turtle dolls and just like quietly saying what they're saying. You know,
not
like,
that there's anything wrong with that to those 16 year olds
out
there.
You got it. Don't worry, Donatello. We got your back. You know, talking to yourself this in a room, playing with toys.
I shared a room
but
with you.
I remember being at Frontier Ranch and like just being like so not about it.
No, and you were uncomfortable in almost every single situation, and I was trying very hard to like be supportive of you, but also be like, we got to have some fun here.
I remember we were like, I was signed up for like. Because it was a sign-up. Like, okay, what are you going to sign up for this afternoon?
Yeah, every day. You're there for 5 days, and every day you get
motorbikes, bows and arrows, BB guns, the high ropes course, the zip line, and then bead making.
Yeah.
And I was like, all of those things sound very dangerous, except bead making. So it was like on the fourth day of me doing bead making with like the other like four-year-olds. They're all like, you know, doing Hama beads or whatever.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, Drew, what are you signing up for? I'm gonna go ahead and tag along. And you're like, I'm signing up for the high ropes course. So in my head, and this is actually my thought process.
I can't wait to hear this.
I'm gonna sign up with Drew. I'm gonna sign up with him in the AM slot right before lunch.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm gonna make sure I'm the last kid in line to go on the high ropes course. So that by the time people take their time,
you won't be able to do
it. It's probably going to be lunch, and I'm going to be like, oh, man, I missed out. Oh, well.
That's not how it works at Frontier Ranch,
late,
folks.
Late for lunch.
They make sure participation is part
of
the game.
Well, it was like, okay, lunchtime, and everyone left except Drew. And I was like, okay, time to go. And they're like, no, you've got to do it. You've got to do the leap of faith. You have to put your trust in God and leap from a 40-foot platform to a hanging bar.
Yeah, it's really
and
it
I was like,
scary.
No, I don't. And they were like, you do. So they harnessed me up. And this poor lady, it starts with like a
I want to tell this part so bad.
You can't. I have to.
I want so badly to tell you because I was watching this happen. I watched it.
I'm climbing this rope ladder.
You climb the rope ladder.
This poor lady, this like
this poor
16
lady. I felt so bad for you. Oh my
she's,
God.
Like when I get nervous, I get flatulent. And she's like assisting me up the rope ladder. And I'm farting these like really stinky, campy, nervous farts just right into this poor lady's face and saying like, oh, I'm sorry. Oh gosh, I'm so sorry.
Your butt was in mouth level of
she
this
was
woman
like,
who was trying
was like,
to guide you up this thing.
Pushing me like Winnie the Pooh through a hole up this rope ladder.
I love that. Campy,
and I finally
campy,
get to the
stinky
top.
Farts.
And it was like, you're at the top and you've been forced to do this thing. And they're like, okay, do the leap of faith. And I'm like, I don't feel comfortable. They're like, come on, just re-put your faith in God and jump. And I sat down on the ledge and I just kind of like scooted myself off and went, and made that weird like sound.
Yeah, like when your stomach gets sucked up when you're on a roller coaster.
And there is nothing sadder or more of a punch to your pride than just being lowered by a rope from 40 feet.
You did. you were not close to the bar.
No,
it was basically just...
I slid off the edge.
Yeah, you sat on the ledge, you slid off, and they slowly hard...
Like a toddler trying to get down off of a bed, just like slid right off. And then the way you're dropped is like a little bit at a time.
Yeah.
A little bit at a time.
Exactly.
So every time it was like this little like, oh my God, the worst.
Danny looked like a heavy loogie hanging on the saliva for dear life.
They would take you out there and then, you know, at the night, the campfire would be like, let's sing these songs. God is love and trust in God and love and you are God and community is God.
Yeah, totally.
And then you'd be like, yeah, I'm with my friends. This is feeling pretty good. I'm actually fairly comfortable here.
Yeah.
And then Cal, whatever his name, would get on the mic and he'd be like, so I'm going to tell you guys a sad story.
That's exactly right.
One time I came to a camp just like Frontier Ranch.
Oh my God.
And when I got home, I found out both my parents died in a car crash. And you're like,
but I have.
Oh my God.
How is this going to come around to God?
All the kids are just like, oh my God, I got to get home. And he was like, but you know what?
Oh my God, I got to get home.
I put my faith in Jesus Christ and he's my parents now. Like, half of the kids are like, oh my God, that's beautiful. I was in the half of kids who were like immediately the next day, and you could tell the next day the infirmary had a line out the door. And I was part of that line, just trying to make up any excuse I could to get myself home. Oh, I threw up. Oh, I don't feel good.
You fake sick to get sick.
I remember the lady was, I was like, oh, my stomach hurts. Can I just call my parents? And she was like, no. And I was like, but I threw up. She's like, you'll feel better. You can't call them right now.
Oh my God.
And I was like, but what do I do? I don't feel good. She's like, just don't eat dairy and go sit back down and try to eat something.
Don't eat dairy. That is such insane advice.
But like, I swear to you.
At a sleepaway camp, just don't eat dairy. You'll be fine.
God, get me home.
That is the line of the century. And now Jesus Christ is my parents.
Yes.
It's so fucking funny. Oh my God.
But I feel like mom and dad, like, they would sign us up for these, like, excursions.
We did this multiple times. We did this, like, two or three times, right?
Yeah, here's a high school camping trip that I'm going to send to my 10 and 11-year-old on. And, like, we go out with, like, because she was all friends with these teachers, and they're like, send your kids with us. So we go out there, and it's like Drew and Danny, 10 and 11.
Yeah.
Everybody else is in high school. And it was really fend for yourself. I remember being out there and like all these kids were finding their campsites and setting up tents. And we went up to like one of the people who was in charge and we're like, where, you know, in this cute like little 10 and 11 year old voice is like, where should we be? And they're like, oh, well, everybody else has partners.
You're going to bunk with that kid that literally no other high schooler wanted to bunk with.
Kyle! Oh!
Okay.
He looked like a guy. Oh, he had like black fingernails and like eye mascara on and like clearly this kid his tent was like 4 miles away from everyone else. And we arrived like,
we were stuck with the loser kid.
Hey Kyle. What do you guys want? We're supposed to sleep with you. Oh God, okay, fine, just find your spot. And then I remember him telling us stories about like somebody who lived in the bottom of the porta potties and like would snatch up little children if you went to the bathroom.
Good God.
So I remember this wasn't even at night. It was like 4 p.m. like hikers all around and kids.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I gotta go to the bathroom, but I can't go to the porta potty.
Because there's a man down there who snatched me.
Yeah. So I like literally.
Wait,
like,
we were so much younger than 10 and 11, by the way. We were literally like 7
yeah,
and 8.
Yeah. You're probably right.
Yeah, no.
Because the logic that I'm about to use is an 8-year-old.
Yes. No, I promise.
I was like, oh God, I gotta go to the bathroom. You know, like the camping pinch where you're like, I can't do this. I need to wait until I get home.
Panic.
So I go to like the one comforting spot, which is like right outside of the tent, like literally 3 feet away from the tent. And I pop a squat and I drop a loaf that is like, again, one of those camping poos that are just like, ooh, what have you been eating? A Frito bag full of taco meat for a week. And I was like, oh God, I like didn't think about it. Had to like finagle my sock off to use that for cleanup.
Yeah.
Then here I am. And also like in plain in plain view of everyone. Just like awkwardly in front of everyone. I use a sock. I go to the lady in charge, and I'm like, oh, I got to make up an excuse. I can't tell her that I just pooped outside of the tent.
Oh, I love this.
And I was like, hey, Danielle, this raccoon, I saw it. It threw up all over my sock. And she's like, oh, really? Yeah. And she was like, oh, well, that's okay. And I was like, yeah, you're right. It's okay. I've got other socks.
That's the logic. The logic of that poo must be what raccoon threw up. That must be what raccoon threw up looks like.
Hey, I saw this raccoon grab my sock and threw up all over it. But she was like, okay. And in my head, I was like, you sly dog, you did it.
You got away with
this. You're an amazing liar. Wow. I walked away with a little pep in my step, but it also could have been poo because I really just wiped once with a sock.
So wait, I love that little kid logic of, what do I do, what do I do, what do I do? Oh my god, you took, everyone's going to know that I took a shit right next to my tent and wiped with a sock. How do I make me look like the victim here? A raccoon threw up on my sock.
In actuality, if you were to step,
if
you were to step outside of like the egocentric mind of that 8-year-old, this is actually what happened outside looking in. Everybody watched me take a crap, wipe with a sock, go to the camp leader and tell him that a raccoon, that must have been what everybody saw.
There were witnesses.
Because it was 4 p.m. It was light out.
Wow. The raccoon looked an awful lot like your ass. That vomit looked a lot like
are
your
you guys seeing this? Are you guys seeing this? That 8-year-old is pooping.
Oh my god.
In front of all of us.
Was that the last camping trip we did with these older kids?
He's wiping with it. He's trying to get his sock. Oh.
Ugh. It's like the funniest thing I've ever
heard. Oh my god, he's coming this way. Hey, a raccoon! A raccoon threw up on my sock!
The idea that everyone's watching him.
Oh my god, he just told us a complete lie. Oh,
just so red-handed in the act. Oh my
but that's
God.
The thing. We were all camping. Everybody was nervous because that rumor spread like wildfire.
Oh.
There's a man who lives at the bottom of the porta potty, and he's gonna get you.
So it's all because of Kyle or whatever that kid's name was saying that there was a man in the porta potty who will snatch little
thanks,
kids.
Kyle.
Yeah. That'll help you sleep.
Yeah, perfect.
First time away from my parents.
Yeah, literally. Like, you've listened to me whimper and sob each night for my family. And your solution was to tell me that somebody lives in the porta potty.
Jesus Christ.
Oh,
I cannot stop laughing.
Anyways, that's the end of the show, everybody.
Danny, this was a lot of fun. Thanks for sitting down and telling mostly embarrassing stories about yourself.
Was it fun?
Yeah, I had a good time.
I had a good time, too. I think that, it feels good to let other people know about my struggles.
I think it's nice that people are aware of you. I feel like a lot of people in the industry are aware of Casey and Chloe, and this is a really fun opportunity for people to get to know you. And you know what? I'm going to go out on a limb here and say this was so silly and fun. This might be a favorite episode of this podcast.
It's certainly a favorite of mine. Thank you to our guest, my big brother, Danny Gasparini, for sharing some insane stories and some fun laughs for this season finale. Guys, that's it. That's season one. We did it. But here's the good news. We're coming back for season two with a lot more amazing guests from Broadway and beyond. So make sure to tune in for when that's going to be happening after our summer hiatus. But feel free to go back to episode one and listen through season one of Now We're Talking with me, Drew Gasparini. I want to thank everybody for listening throughout this entire season, and especially the Broadway Podcast Network. You can find out more about me and this podcast at the Broadway Podcast Network app or bpn.fm/nowwe're talking. Find me, Drew Gasparini, on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. And thank you to every single guest we've had all season. That's 25 amazing guests. Guys, I have had a blast hosting this thing. It was a new journey, a new endeavor, and I can't wait for more. We'll see you for season two. Ooh!
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.